Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 1. We are using the Parish of Am Loes and by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. Again, we're holding in chapter 1, Pasuk 1. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim uvederech hatoyim lo amod uvemoshav leitzim lo yoshav. Happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. King David has opened the book of Psalms Tillim with a psalm that begins, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. This is a fitting introduction to the entire book, as it teaches that the man who departs from evil and does good is truly happy and firmly rooted. Although the righteous man be beset by affliction all his days, and the way of the wicked prosper, the wicked are like the chaff, and the end of their way is perdition. Happy and worthy of acclaim is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked are forever in pursuit of riches to satisfy their passion for the things of this world, and they do not distinguish between good and evil. For the sake of money, they rob and steal and murder because they are driven by despair. As the scripture says in Job, Eve, when he gives quietness, who can do evil? Evil deeds are rooted in despair, for there is lack of serenity. Because the wicked are constantly in a state of dread about their future, they counsel everyone to live as they do, to amass riches and find pleasure in the present. However, men are for the most part mistaken when attracted to the good things in hand. They fail to look more deeply and to ponder the consequences. Happy is the man, a man in his prime, in full possession of his powers, who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. A related emphasis says, happy is the man whose happiness stems from the fact that he is a man, an ish, complete in the traits of excellence and qualities of the soul. For in physical prowess and body perfections alone, man is suppressed by the animals. Man is called here Ish, the highest form of the four names given by the Torah to characterize a human being. Ish, Adam, Enosh, and Gever. The name Ish corresponds to the quality of man whereby he transcends all physical aspects. It refers to the condition of man when his thought is totally involved in reaching for the sacred, and his soul is inflamed with cleaving to its divine source on high. Accordingly, he is happy. This man is beloved above and beloved below. Similarly, Moshe claimed the Jewish people by concluding his blessing with the words, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Hashem. A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. Speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, David opened his great book by declaring, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. He mentions three kinds of wicked assemblies, the wicked Rishoyim, the sinners Chatoyim, and the scornful the Leitzim. The Rishoyim are the worst, and one must keep away from them as far as possible. The singer speaks in the past tense. Who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful? That is to say, the principal happiness of the truly happy man is that he leaves this world without having been blemished. At the end of his days, he can look back and declare that he has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. He is then acclaimed on high by the tzaddikim of all generations who come forward to greet him. King David is also speaking to those who, like him, had endured harsh and bitter testing and remained righteous. Indeed, that is the reason he composed this psalm. Despite all his suffering and pain, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. He did not follow in the footsteps of the wicked, nor did he ever consider their counsel to do so. He did not linger stand among them long enough to participate in the customs and affairs of sinners, to avoid emulating their deeds. For one who associates with evil men brings evil upon himself, even if he does not actually walk in their ways. As it says, when you saw a thief, and you were in company with him, and with adulterers was your portion, I will reprove you. Although he took no part in thievery and adultery, he committed the wrong. Accordingly, the scripture says here, happy is the man who has not walked. For as the Talmud says of the present verse, by not having walked, he did not stand, and by not having stood, he did not sit. Another insight says, even when a man commits a sin, he is praiseworthy if he had not stood in the sin. He did not persist in his transgression, but turned away. Our sages explain, nor stood in the way of sinners. These are the people of Sodom. The praiseworthy man does not emulate their behavior. They sinned by never using their wealth for doing good, only to satisfy their own lusts. But he who uses his money for noble ends, happy is his lot. Nor sat in the seat of the scornful. There are people who use their special cunning for spite, to boast and mock and slander. This is one meaning of latesim. Latesim are also those frivolous people who congregate on street corners and contribute nothing worthwhile to society. They possess no wisdom or industry and can do nothing but talk. Such people are scornful of Torah study. Instead of the seat of learning, they occupy the seat of the scornful. When one is able to study Torah and fails to do so, clearly he is scornful of Torah study. To what can this be compared? A man was told to count gold coins and that everything he counted would become his own possession. If he fails to apply himself to the task, he shows his scorn for gold coins. The scripture mentions here three kinds of wrongdoing: in thought, through unintentional action, and in speech. Regarding the first, it says that the praiseworthy man has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Or the second, it says, nor stood in the way of sinners. Even if he happened to come among sinners, he did not linger among them, but endeavored to flee. The end letters of the words Ashrei Ho'ish Asher Lo spells out the word Ashrei, to convey that the righteous man is happy in this world and in the world to come. Our sages teach that this world is called an upside-down world, and the world to come is the proper world. This is hinted to by the above word Ashrei, which is spelled both in the forward direction and in the end letters, upside down. King David began the book of Psalms with the word Ashrei, which is the continuation where Moshe left off. Just Moshe said, happy are you, Ashrecho, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Hashem. But while Moshe spoke of the happiness of the nation as a whole, David speaks of the happiness of each and every individual. Accordingly, he concludes the book with, let every soul praise Hashem. Kol Hanishama Tahalil Kol. The first letters of the words Kol Hanishama Tahalil has the same numerical value, 425, as Mashiach ben David, Mashiach the son of David. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Ki misoras Hashem chefzo saraso yege yomam b'loilo. But his desire is to strive in the teaching, the Torah of Hashem, and he meditates in his teaching day and night. The previous verse spoke of the evils which the righteous man avoids. But it is not enough for a man to keep away from evil. He must also do good. So the scripture continues. But his desire is to strive in the teaching of Hashem. His desire is to study as well as to do. For proper action is not possible unless there is the necessary knowledge acquired through prior study. King David inspires the heart of men, urging that their desire for God's Torah be more deeply felt than any other desire. Compare it to a man with a pocket full of gems and pearls. All his thought and desire are focused on nothing else except this treasure. Similarly, King Solomon said, all the things you can desire are not to be compared to her. A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. And for those that are interested, the complete Mishlei is available on 34 or tapes or CDs. The Torah is more precious than treasures of gems and pearls, as it says, better to me is the teaching of your mouth than thousands of gold and silver. Ownership of gold and silver eventually passes to another, but one's striving and achievement in Torah always remains one's very own possession. In another emphasis, that a desire for the Torah of Hashem means that one's own wishes and understanding are gladly set aside when they are in conflict with the divinely given laws of the Torah. He meditates in his Torah day and night. All day and all night his thought is taken up with Torah study and performance of the mitzvahs. This man is not involved with and has no desire for the empty pursuits of this world. His sole desire is for the teaching of Hashem in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. Apparently, the teaching of the Lord is called Torah, for it guides Mora, the person, along the path of upright living. He meditates, Yaga. His thought is so intensely concentrated in Torah study that the words leave his mouth as if on their own. Yaga literally means utterance. When passing his lips, they sound like the warbling, a murmuring of doves. This comparison is found in the words of the prophet, like doves we murmur much, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. When is the Torah called his Torah? When one ponders it night and day without ulterior motives. It should not be an occasional pastime or pursuit for the sake of honor or material gain. Our sages teach that when a man is occupied with the Torah, Hashem takes care of his needs and fulfills his wishes. Thus the present verse says, his desire is to strive in the Torah of Hashem, followed by, and in all he does he will prosper. Even before he acts, Hashem acts to grant his wishes, saving him the effort. The Talmud also teaches, let a man keep studying even if he keeps forgetting, and does not understand what he says. Even then, says the scripture, it will be said of him that my soul is consumed with the longing that it has for your ordinances at all times. This pertains to one who cannot understand. If, however, he can understand, he must endeavor to understand. Day and night, if one studies at night, Hashem extends to that man a thread of grace during the day. It's the Gemara and Talmud that brings this down. His desire, a man does not study except when what his heart desires. If that and that alone is his desire, it is a sign that he came to this world to complete his perfection in that part of the Torah. He meditates in his Torah. The Talmud says, if you have desired the Torah, in the end it will be called in your name. That is to say, if at first one is occupied with the Torah solely as the fulfillment of a mitzvah, in time there comes the realization that this leads to the attainment of personal perfection. However, this is true only as regards the Torah that one studies through exhaustive effort and intense application. As our sages have said concerning the verse, the pasuk found in Qehelet, Av Chochma Amdali, King Solomon declares that only the wisdom that stayed with me, which he acquired with Av, through exhausting effort. Another insight says, although this man meditated in the Torah day and night, his desire for the Torah was not thereby weakened. As King David says later, oh, how I love your Torah, it is my talk all day long. This is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. We'll get to it, Mitzvah. Although it is my talk the entire day, my love for your Torah is undiminished. Our sages declare, a man is born to toil, as found in Eov and Job. But I do not know if it is to toil with one's mouth or to labor with one's hands. So the scripture says, for his mouth compels him, a pasuk found again in Mishlei. So therefore, say therefore that it means toil of the mouth. I still do not know if it is to be toil in the Torah or just talk. So the scripture says, this book of the Torah will not depart
out of your mouth. A pasuk that's found in the Sefer Yeshua. Say therefore that a man was created to toil at the Torah. According to Rava has declared, all matters are a bother. Fortunate is he who has merited that his brother is the Torah. Some emphasize the subtle implication of his Torah. If a man wants to merit possession of the Torah of Hashem, he must first meditate in his very own Torah. Let him first develop and refine his character traits. His very own personal Torah, whose development depends on him alone. Then again, meditate is interpreted in the specific sense of silent meditation. When the true Torah scholar is too weary to study audibly, he continues to reflect in the Torah. If you desire to learn good character traits, do not go to the wise men of the nations, who also at times teach ethics and morals. For the happiness of the Jew is not to be found anywhere except through the Torah of Hashem as the revealed teaching from Sinai. Just as the five books of the Torah begin by teaching about the Torah, thus it says, in the beginning in Bereishis, Hashem created the heaven and the earth, which alludes to the Torah that is called Reishis, so has David Melech, King David, begun his book of Psalms with praise of the Torah. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. V'hoyo ke'etz shosul al palgei moyim asher piryo yitein bi'ito v'olehu lo yibol v'chol asher yase yetzliach. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither, and in all he does he will prosper. The man who departs from evil and does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, is called happy. If moreover he does good by being occupied with the Torah day and night, not only is he happy, but he's then blessed with additional benefits. This man is likened to a tree planted by streams of water whose bounty benefits others as well. The present verse lists all his successes. He is blessed with sons like a tree planted by streams of water, financial success that brings forth its fruit in its season, and general success in all he does, he will prosper. The man of excellence is likened to a tree planted by streams of water. Also in the following sense, just as this tree lives forever, so the man who keeps away from evil and does good will rejoice in his portion forever. Sweet is then the sleep of this labor, whether he eats little or much. Again, this is a pasuk found in Kehelis, and also complete Kehelis with Ma'am Lois is also available on tape or CD if anybody is interested. Others emulate his deeds, hence that bring forth fruit in its season, and they find refuge in the protective shadow of his good deeds, just as the leaf protects the fruit, hence whose leaf does not wither. Just as a fruit-bearing tree yields fruit only in season, yet it is called a fruit-bearing tree all year round, similarly for the man who meditates in the Torah day and night, although at times he cannot but neglect the study, he is at all times regarded as one who meditates in the Torah day and night. The comparison is apt in the following related sense as well. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it bears, and is so named from the moment it is planted. Thus an apple tree is called an apple tree from its earliest stage, because of the apples that it will yield in the future. Never mind that at this moment there are no apples, it is named after its proper function. Similarly, if a man meditates in the Torah of Hashem day and night, even his preparations to study are called study, and his eating and drinking and everything else he does is called Torah study, for everything is done for the sake of Hashem. The tzaddik is likened to a tree planted by streams of water, for when he begins a good deed, he does not leave it uncompleted. He is like that tree which goes on to bear fruit. It is otherwise for the wicked. Even when they choose the path of excellence, they are like chaff. Every little wind drives away the chaff, which we're going to be learning in the next pasuk. And every little difficulty discourages the wicked.
The wicked are not the source of fruitful results, as it says, for they sow the wind that has no stalk, the bud that yields no flower, a pasuk found in Hosea. Thus our sages declared, the righteous, their hearts are in their hands. They control their desires, but the wicked are in the hands of their hearts. The perfected man is compared to a tree, not to grass that survives only as a species. The individual blade of grass soon dies and is gone, but the tree exists in its own right as well, more when it is uprooted from its original site and replanted elsewhere. It will endure and flourish. Similarly, the tzaddik passes intact from this world to the world to come, and is replanted on high by streams of supernal waters. Like a tree planted by streams of water, a related interpretation of this comparison says, just as a tree grows slowly rather than all at once, so the path that leads to saintliness is gradual. When a man rises in piety step by step, his saintliness has root and substance. Thus our sages teach, a big walking step removes one part in 500 of a man's light. Figuratively, this is understood as saying that when one strives to attain a high plane of achievement very rapidly, in the end, he will be deprived of the true light. If, however, he proceeds by gradually adding something day after day and year after year, he continues to deepen and to extend his roots. He will not be easily displaced from his high plane. Like a tree planted, ke'et shosul. The word shosul actually signifies transplanted, that is, uprooted from elsewhere and planted here. In contrast, notua simply means planted, planted at each location from the very beginning. Accordingly, the present verse teaches that a Torah scholar should be like a tree transplanted from place to place, by learning from every man rather than from a single teacher. According to the Talmud, this applies to learning different ways of reasoning. Whose leaf does not wither? An allusion to those who provide financial support for Torah study. They are like the leaves of the tree that take the brunt of the winds and dry breezes, and also protect the grape clusters by shielding them from the heat of the sun. Those people conduct their worldly affairs and sustain the scholars who occupy themselves with the Torah. Thus the Talmud tells of the following passage that was once dispatched from the land of Israel: plead for divine mercy on behalf of the leaves, for if not for the leaves, the clusters could not survive. And an assurance goes forth to those whose desire is to strive in the Torah of Hashem: fear not the vagaries the time brings. You will always have your providers. In all he does, he will prosper, said Rabbi Yossi. I will draw a comparison for you. A man was wandering in a parched land without water, and his life was ebbing away from thirst. But then he found a tree with a running brook under it. Its fruit was sweet to the palate, and its shade was pleasant. He drank of the water, seated himself in the shade, and partook of the fruit. His soul was refreshed. Before taking leave of the tree to go on his way, he said, "Tree, tree, how shall I bless you? If I say to you, may your fruit be sweet, but it is already sweet. If I say to you, may there be a spring of living waters under you, but there is already a spring of water under you. And if I say to you, may your shade be pleasant, but your shade is already pleasant. So I will say, may it be God's will that all the plantings taken from you for planting elsewhere be like you." Similarly, Hashem said to Avraham, "If I tell you, acknowledge me, you have already acknowledged me. If I tell you, recognize me as the king of the world, you have already crowned me. So may it be my will that all the fruit of your loins shall be like you." The sages of the Talmud say further, "How is it to be inferred that the speech of the wise requires study? For it says that whose leaf does not wither. The mouth of the one who is occupied with Torah study is so finely developed that every word it utters makes good sense. That brings forth its fruit in its season." This refers to one student who toil at the Torah by dividing the day into sessions and periods. There is a time in Torah study for scripture, for Chumash, and a time for Mishnah, and a time for Gemara. Whose leaf does not wither? Everyone stands in need of the scholars, his course and teaching. In all he does, he will prosper. All are in need of his counsel. It is related about Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch that he would dispense advice which was very successful. You are a prophet, they said to him. I am not a prophet, he replied, nor the son of a prophet, but I have received a tradition from my teachers that advice given for the sake of heaven will always come true in the end. Said Rabbi Nassim, there is an explicit pasuk saying so, but the counsel of Hashem that will stand, pasuk that's found in Mishle, advice that has in it the word of Hashem will be sustained. That is to say, if the one giving the good advice is motivated to guide the people in God's way, his advice is vindicated even in mundane matters. For the people are then inclined to accept his guidance in spiritual matters as well. A related interpretation draws upon the preceding verse. If a man meditates in the Torah day and night, he will be able to rule in matters of law to all who seek his advice, and he will do so without hesitation or stutter. Thus, yaga literally means voiced meditation. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Loichein harsho'im kim kamotz ashitetfenu ruach. Not so the wicked, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Not so the wicked and the sinners and the scornful, none of whom contribute anything worthwhile to mankind. They are like the chaff that does not nourish, but which is easily carried by the wind. Driven with great speed, they cause injury by striking the face and eyes, or by entering our homes and gardens to create havoc. The righteous man was described as ashrei, which in Aramaic connotes to endure. But the wicked do not endure. They are like chaff that every little wind sweeps away. Sudden misfortune strikes them, and they are gone. As the prophet says, you will fan them, and the wind will carry them away, and the whirlwind will scatter them. And you will rejoice in Hashem. It's a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. In other words, the wicked may prosper, but only in this world. Then they are gone forever. The contrast is presented in another sense as well. The righteous are firmly rooted in their ways by good deeds and will not easily be swayed, but the wicked readily change their views. Even when they do good, they are easily deflected from the path of righteousness like chaff that the wind disperses. Just as the chaff has no rest but is driven about by the wind, so the wicked have no rest in this world. Their pursuit of success does not bring them tranquility, nor in this world and not in the world to come. The deeds of the tzaddikim who act in the spirit of saintlessness differ from the deeds of the wicked who act out of impure motives. Compare it to the difference between the flight of a bird and that is full of the zest of life and the wind-driven chaff that is dead matter. The success of the tzaddik lies in the fact that Hashem is with him, as the scripture relates about the righteous Joseph. But the way of the wicked, though it appear marked by success, is devoid of the spirit of life. When we see a heap of chaff, we may imagine that there is wheat under the chaff. But the moment a wind comes along and moves it away, we see that there is only chaff. A similar thing holds true for the wicked. They will sometimes perform commendable deeds resembling the deeds of the righteous, but it becomes clear soon enough that these were only chaff. For winds come along, difficulties arise that drive them away. Nor is the chaff like leaves that protect the fruit, regarding which it was said, whose leaf does not wither, for chaff is separated from the grain. The wicked stay away from the righteous of whom they are contemptuous. Of what use to us are these wise men, they shout. The Talmud teaches The scripture has likened the righteous to the choices of all species, and to the choices within that species. The rose is the choices of all species of flowers, and the choices of the species is the rose of the valleys. A pasuk that's found in Shir HaShir. But the wicked are likened to the lowliest species, and the lowliest within that species the chaff. As it says, let them be as chaff before the wind. They are not even like the chaff in the valley, which contains moisture, but like mountain chaff that is driven by the ever-present wind. Initially, the chaff appears as an important part of the stalk of wheat, and one might even come away with the mistaken impression that the grain was planted for the sake of the chaff. Indeed, it sprouts earlier than the wheat kernel, but at threshing time, when grain is winnowed and the chaff is dispersed, it becomes clear soon enough for whom and for what purpose the grain was planted. Similarly, the wicked may appear serene and subdued, and it might be thought that the world was created for their sake. However, their end will be that they will not stand in the judgment, for Hashem knows well the way of the righteous. That is, He created the world for the sake of the righteous. Please turn tape over to side B. The wicked are not likened to chaff that is still attached to the wheat and functions to protect it. Then the wind cannot budge it, for it is protected by the wheat kernel. Rather, they are like chaff after it has been separated from the wheat and is swept up by this wind. Just as the chaff is separated from the wheat for the good of the wheat, so the wicked separate themselves from the tzaddikim, lest the tzaddikim be influenced by their evil deeds. Indeed, the good deeds performed by the wicked last only for the moment, like chaff that is easily swept away. But the deeds of the tzaddikim are so firmly planted by streams of water that all the winds in the world cannot move them. Accordingly, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Their deeds cannot stand up for them when they are judged. For Hashem knows well the way of the righteous, who accept the divine verdict with love. But the way of the wicked will perish, as we will learn in 2 Pesukim from now. The wicked rebel and deny judge and judgment, and their end is perdition. The tzaddik is like a tree that sends out new roots all the time. Just as the wind will not move a tree which is held fast by many roots, so the tzaddik is not driven away from Hashem by afflictions. It is otherwise for the wicked, who have no roots, and they are like chaff that is dispersed by the wind. A related interpretation says, the tzaddik appears to be surrounded and held down to a situation by many mitzvahs. Unlike the wicked man who follows his heart's desire, he is not free to do everything that his spirit moves him to do. In reality, however, the tzaddik resembles the roots of a tree. Although they are stuck in the depths of the earth, they provide moisture and life to the tree. In contrast, the wicked man resembles chaff. Although it soars in every direction, driven by the wind, it remains nothing other than chaff. Like chaff, the wicked are not even like barren trees whose wood is good for construction. A parable. A traveler passed by a field and saw a farmer mixing seeds with earth, which he then scattered on the plowed field. What are you doing? He asked. I am mixing them with earth to make them heavier so the wind should not carry them off. A neighboring farmer saw him do this, and being totally ignorant about farming, proceeded to gather up clumps of earth, which he then began to strew on the ground. The same traveler passed by him and asked what he was doing. The reply came back, I saw my neighbor throw down earth on this field, so I'm doing the same thing. Empty head, cried the man. But that one mixed the earth with seeds. Of what use to the field is earth alone?
Similarly, the tzaddikim are also rewarded for the time that they are taken up with everyday necessities of life, since one must care for the body in order to be able to pursue matters of the spirit. Not so the wicked, who are not rewarded for the everyday activities. Accordingly, the scripture compares the tzaddik to a fruit-bearing tree which is planted by streams of water. The tree has to be tended all year round in order for it to yield fruit in season. Not so the wicked, who are compared to chaff which the wind drives away. They do not know where the wind will take them. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Al kein lo yukumu rishoyim ba mishpat v'chatoim ba das tzaddikim. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The wicked will not stand exonerated at the judgment to come, because they were concerned solely with the acquisition of material possessions. If in a lifetime of frenzied pursuit they had acquired but a trifling fraction of what they wanted in mundane goods, how could they have acquired any of the treasures of the world to come without the expenditure of any effort? Therefore they will not stand in the judgment, they will be condemned. There is this difference between the wicked Rishoyim and the sinners Chatoyim. The wicked will not stand even when they are judged individually, but the sinners, those who committed transgression out of passion, will have an excuse. For man's passionate nature is hard to resist, as it says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and to sin did my mother conceive me." However, if they stand in judgment together with the righteous, who did not succumb to their natures, they will have no defensible excuse. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ki yodeya Hashem derech tzaddikim derech rishoyim tovei. For Hashem knows well the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. After having mentioned the wicked and the sinners and the congregation of the righteous, the singer goes on to explain that Hashem knows who the righteous are and who the wicked are after death. He will grant to the former a great good, but the latter he will abandon to perish. As Avigal said to David, "Yet the soul of my Lord will be bound in the bundle of life which Hashem your God, and the souls of your enemies, them he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling." Pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. It is further indicated that Hashem maintains his supervision over the tzaddik, but he removes the supervision from the wicked. For Hashem knows well the ways of the righteous, a true knowledge, as it says, "For I have known him," a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. "But the way of the wicked will perish," as it says, "and I will hide my face from them, and they will be devoured," a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Because Hashem himself in his glory knows the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, he requires no witnesses. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Moreover, because Hashem knows the way of the wicked, they are even now already condemned to death. Not so the sinners. However, they simply do not at this time stand in the congregation of the righteous to be consigned to life, but must wait for their fate to be decided. Another emphasis links the two verses. Why will the sinners not stand in the congregation of the righteous? For Hashem knows well the way of the righteous, that is, how much they struggle to overcome their physical inclinations, whereas the way of the wicked will perish. They are even now already consigned to perdition, because there is no hope for them. When we say perdition, I think it refers to Gehenna, to hell. Then again, because the wicked sat in the seat of the scornful, they have no strength left to stand in the judgment when summoned. It is not so regarding the righteous. Another interpretation says the wicked too serve a useful function, but only when they are judged and justly punished. Others are then warned away from their path in life. Thus the wicked serve a useful purpose only after they perish. So long as they continue to endure, no one can derive any benefit from them. It is otherwise regarding the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, as like our first pasuk says, "For others are inspired when they behold that he is happy." This is conveyed by the scripture having likened the righteous to a tree planted by streams of water. Its fruits are enjoyed so long as it endures. They are not like those numerous thick-branched barren trees of the wood, which serve a useful purpose only after they are cut down. Thus our sages teach, the Holy One looked upon the deeds of the righteous and upon the deeds of the wicked. For I do not know which of them he desires. Whereupon it says, and Hashem saw the light that it was good. A pasuk that is found in the Chumash Bereishis. Hence it is the deeds of the righteous that he desires. Hashem favors the good deeds of the righteous over the lessons in morality derived from the remorse of the wicked. Hashem knows well the way of the righteous. Although every tzaddik follows his own path, they all converge in the end to one way. For Hashem joins their ways. The striving towards Hashem unites them all in the same endeavor. Not so the wicked. Even when they follow the same path together, in the end, they lose their way. But the way of the wicked will perish. Our saintly forefathers have explained it in the Haim. So the righteous will see and rejoice, and the upright will be glad, and the saintly ones will be joyful in song. And all the wickedness will be gone like smoke, for he will remove the rule of the arrogant from the earth. The rule of those who show their arrogance by defying Hashem, that is the way of the wicked. Now the pasuk does not say, Yovad, that Hashem will make perish. He would eliminate them, for it is not God's will to see the death of the wicked. Rather, your own wickedness will correct you, as we find pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Those who follow the path of wickedness will remain lost and forsaken and abandoned, for it is not their purpose to attain knowledge of Hashem. Then again, the way of the wicked will perish, in the sense that they do not find their way after death. Thus the Talmud relates, the same here Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wept before his death. There are two roads before me, and I do not know along which road they are taking me. If Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wept, what can we say who come after him? King David, the sweet singer of Israel, opened this psalm with the happiness of the righteous, and he ends it with the ruin that lies along the way of the wicked. This teaches us that the path of the righteous and the way of the wicked are as far apart as the opposite ends of the world. Now we come to chapter 2, pasuk 1. Lama rakshu goyim ulu'umim yegu rik. Why are the nations in uproar? Why do the peoples mutter in vain? The previous psalm was an introduction to the entire book of Psalms. The book itself properly begins here. This psalm speaks of the afflictions and visitations that befell David, King David, which symbolize and anticipate the suffering and the visitations that would afflict the individual Jew and the Jewish people throughout all the generations. However, the afflictions are linked to the yearning for redemption, for David meant to inspire the Jew with hope and strength during the long travail of exile, until the coming of Mashiach, the son of David. Why are the nations in uproar, when why do the people mutter in vain? One view is that David composed this psalm when he was anointed king. It refers to the Philistines, who when they heard of the anointment went forth to wage war against him. Thus it says, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the fortress. Now the Philistines had come and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, as found in Sefer Shemuel base. Accordingly, David here cries out against them. Why are the nations in uproar, and why do the peoples mutter in vain? Why are they in an uproar, and why have all of these people gathered to mutter in their hearts in futility? Literally, the word yagu means to meditate or scheme. Then again, why do they say that we are in vain, that our situation is hopeless? Futile is the uproar of the nations, and the peoples plot in vain. For he that sits in heaven laughs, Hashem mocks them. The Midrash says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, if one man says to another, why do you do this? He becomes angry. Yet the righteous say to Hashem, why do you do this? And they are not punished. For Hashem does not act for his own benefit, but only for Israel's good.
Pasuk base, Pasuk 2.
Yatzvu malchei erez v'roiznim noistu yochad al Hashem v'al Mashiacho.
The kings of the earth stand forth, and the rulers take counsel together against Hashem and against His anointed. The kings of the earth stand forth, and the rulers take counsel, noistu, together. They meet in secret consultation, because noistu is linked to the word sod, a secret. What is their counsel? Let us tear their bands asunder, against Hashem, not to serve Him, and against His anointed to prevent His rule. But they, the Plishtim, the Philistines, knew that David ruled by God's command, after the prophet Samuel had anointed him as king. To what can this be compared to? There lived a mighty warrior who was feared by all the enemies of his country. So they said to one another, "There's only one thing to do. Come, let us kill this mighty warrior, and then we shall take over the country." The Midrash says in the name of Rabbi Abu, "All the uproar, the wicked, and all their labors in vain, as it says, behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor for the fire and the nations weary themselves for vanity?" A passage that is found in Habakkuk. But Israel will not labor in vain, nor bring forth for terror and confusion. A passage that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Why are the nations in an uproar? Rikshu. Or Rokshu. The wicked are likened to a raging sea, as it says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its water cast up myrrh and dirt. Again, another passage is found in the Sefer Yeshayahu. Just as the sea wants to sweep away the land, but the sand restrains it, similarly for the wicked. Their designs against the righteous must fail. So why do the nations continue to be in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter in vain? Some say that this psalm was composed for the time of the Messianic age, when the nations will make a final desperate attempt to eradicate the Jewish people and to obliterate the name of God and of Israel. Time and time again, throughout history, they strove to replace the Almighty with false idolatries that corrupt man's mind and degrade his being. But the Hashem thwarts their designs. When Nimrod erected the tower of Babel, Hashem found Avram to defy him. Moshe stood up against Paro and against the Amalekim, and David stood in opposition to all the nations. Thus, the Talmud teaches that he was worthy of being the Mashiach. Similarly, the present verses convey that in the end of days there will be no longer be a place for the wicked. Their way will perish, and everyone will worship Hashem. A new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. A passage is found in Sefer Yechezkel. I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Another passage is found in Zechariah. This will all transpire to his direct descendant of David, King David, the anointed of Hashem. So David composed the present psalm as a hymn about the final stirring of the nations against Israel. Thus it says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then Hashem will go forth and fight against those nations. But the war of Gog," it says, "and you will come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the earth, you and your many peoples with you, and you will come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it will come to pass in that day that my fury will rise up in my nostrils." All this is found in Yechezkel.
Pasuk Gimel. The Natka Esbos Usemo V'Nashlicha Mimenu Avosemo. They say, "Let us tear their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In the future, the nations will declare, "Let us tear asunder the hands that link the Yerushalayim below to the Yerushalayim on high. Let us cast away their cords, so they will be no longer be superior to us." However, at that time, he that sits in heaven laughs. Hashem mocks them. Hashem will confound their counsel. He has chosen us out of all the peoples, and who shall tell him what to do? A pasuk is found in Kehelis. The scripture proclaims that his status of the Jewish people will not change in any way. In the future, Hashem will bring the peoples to the valley
of Yishofat, and there he will demand of them, what punishment is fit for Israel who sinned against me? So they will speak in condemnation of Israel and magnify the harshness of the affliction that Israel deserves. The scripture hints at this outcry against the Jewish people. Why are the nations in uproar, and why do the peoples mutter in vain? The kings of the earth stand forth, and the rulers take counsel together against Hashem and against his anointed. They will protest that Hashem deals too kindly with Israel, but he that sits in heaven laughs. Hashem mocks them. What is his laughter? Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his rage. Hashem will turn their own wrath against them and rage against the Jewish people in order to terrify them. The Targum translates, the kings of the earth and the rulers banded together to rebel before Hashem and to quarrel with his anointed. More specifically, the Medrash says that the nations want to tear Israel away from the mitzvah tefillin and the mitzvah tzitzis. Let us tear their tefillin bands asunder and cast away their tzitzis cords. Let us hear their bands. Ever since the Torah was given to the Jews at Sinai, the nations are not as free as they once were to act as the Spirit moves them. They behold the Jewish people and are ashamed. Therefore they are forever trying to tear themselves away from the bonds of morality that were given to Israel at Sinai. Ever since they then hatred for the Jewish people descended upon the world. Why was the mountain called Sinai? The Talmud asked, because Sina, hatred, descended upon the world. According to the interpretation that David composed these psalms regarding the Plishtim, the Philistines, they had said, let us tear their bands asunder, destroy the bonds of unity with the Jewish people who have now agreed to accept David as their king. For 7 years, there was no unanimous consent, but finally all of Israel accepted him. In this context, bands and cords connote agreement, linking of views. Alternatively, they wanted to throw off the yoke imposed upon them by the kingdom of the house of David. This yoke is described figuratively by alluding to cords and ropes used for tying up bulls. A different interpretation refers to the afflictions suffered by the Jewish people in exile. The nations among whom they live have now counseled that the bands and cords of suffering be lifted from Israel. As a result, the Jews will not want their exile existence to end, but God laughs at their strategy. He will so arrange matters that even a slight inconvenience will appear to the Jew as a great affliction. The Jewish people are called the sons of God, and the father does not inflict a brutal punishment upon his son, but it is still very painful. The punishment which he inflicts is meant to prevent them from assimilating into the nations. Thus the scripture says about the age of the Mashiach, V'heiri choy b'yiras Hashem, which means his delight will be in the fear of Hashem. According to the Talmud, the prophet hints at the afflictions that will descend upon Israel. The Mashiach will be burdened with duties and afflictions as one who is weighed down with millstones around his neck. Rechayim, linked to the word Heirichu, just as the grinding of millstones produce flowers, so the Jewish people will come to merit deliverance through the afflictions of the Messianic age. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Yoshev Bashamayim Yitzchak Adono Yilag Lomo. He that sits is enthroned in heaven laughs, Hashem mocks them. In metaphorical language adopted from the affairs of men, the singer declares, he that sits in heaven laughs, Hashem mocks them. Compare it to a man ridiculing and abusing another who is contemptible. Similarly it says, but you, O Hashem, will laugh at them. You will have all the nations in derision. Hashem does laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. In another sense, he that sits in heaven laughs at those who place their hopes in the constellations. For Hashem confounds the system of astrological predictions and exposes them to ridicule. As it says, he increases the nations and then destroys them. A pasuk that is found in Iyov. This divine ridicule will be his wrath against them. He that sits in heaven laughs. Hashem mocks them.
In the future, the nations will come to make war against Yerushalayim and the Jewish people, and this will be the cause of their downfall. The marvelous turnabout is depicted here metaphorically as Hashem laughing and mocking them. There is no greater mockery than having someone fall into the same pit that he prepared for others. Hashem gives men the freedom and the ability to do as they please. Should they arrogantly choose evil, however, in the end, he that sits in heaven laughs. Hashem mocks them. It becomes clear that man's evil ways do not bring him happiness. It is as if Hashem laughs at the arrogance of men, as it says, that you may tell in the ears of your son and of your son's son what I have wrought, his alalti upon the triumph. Pasuk is found in Chumash Shmos. Rashi explains his alalti, I laughed. How ludicrous it sounds for a human being to declare his power ahead. My river is my own, and I have made it myself. Pasuk Nechesko, when the power declared that he was a god. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Oz yedaber elemo biapo vacharonu yivalemo. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his rage. If he that sits in heaven laughs in this world, in the future he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his rage. Some explain that Yedaber connotes plague in the sense of Dever umagefa, pestilence and plague. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Vanina sachti malki al tziyor in har kachi. But I have set, anointed my king on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. Speaking about the Plishtim, the Philistines, who came to destroy the kingdom of David, the Holy Spirit says, why were you in uproar when I have anointed my king? I myself crowned David and appointed him as a prince to rule on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. So how could you think to uproot kingship from the house of David? Some say that David was speaking to the other nations. I, David, have anointed my king on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. I appointed my son Shlomo to be king. He will rule after me and build the house of worship on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. Hashem will respond to my people when they pray to him from there, and he in his mercy will provide for their deliverance. So why are they in uproar? Indeed, why are the nations in an uproar? Is it not so that David will also invite the non-Jews to pray on the mountain of my sanctuary and have their prayers granted? Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7. Asapra el chok Hashem omar elai b'ni yato ani hayom yiliditicha. I will tell of the decree Hashem said to me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. King David says, I will tell of the decree, this tale I will set before me as a law, and its telling as an established custom. What is the tale that Hashem said to me? You are my son, your kingship comes from me, and no man may challenge it. Thus Hashem said to the prophet Shmuel, when he sent him to Yishai, for I provided me a king among his sons, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. That, he said to me, this day I have begotten you, and the day that you were anointed, I took you as my son. Thus it says, I have provided me a king. On the very same day that David was anointed, the divine spirit was born within him. As it says, and the spirit of Hashem came mightily upon David from that day forward. Through the Holy Spirit he chanted songs and psalms, and from that day onward, inspiration and power continued to increase within him. But David was humble in his own eyes, and he did not see himself as worthy of kingship. He became king not by his own initiative, but because Hashem said to me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Some say the word Malachi refers to Hashem as the king. David says, Nishachti. Although I have been anointed Malki Atzir Harkotzi, my king is on Zion, the mountain of my sanctuary. Although David had conquered Mount Zion, as it says, David took the stronghold of Zion. Hashem was his king on Zion. According to the interpretation that these psalms refer to the Messianic age, the singer says, I will tell of the decree. I will speak in the common manner of one who says to a faithful servant, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. It is as if on this day I granted you present existence. Thus the Talmud says, when Hashem saw the Mashiach of the house of David, he said to him, ask what you will and I will grant it. But the Mashiach had seen the Mashiach son of Yosef killed, so he said, master of the world, I ask only for life. Some relate the present verse to the nations who express the desire to tear the Jewish people away from their faith. Let us tear their bands asunder. However, I will tell of the decree. Just as it is an unchanging law that a son cannot be torn away from his father, similarly it is not possible to tear away the Jewish people from their father in heaven. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Sha'al mi meni ve'etno goyim nachlosecho v'chuzoscho afse oretz. Ask it of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession. Hashem says to David, pray to me every time you go forth to battle your enemies. Ask it of me, and I will hand you the enemy nations as your inheritance. Thus Hashem had said to him, and I will be with you wherever you will go, and I will cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones on the earth. Pasuk that's found in Shemuel. Accordingly, the scripture says, and the fame of David went out into all lands, and Hashem brought the fear of him upon the nations. A pasuk that's found in Divrei Hayamim. This promise refers not only to neighboring nations, he will also give the lands that are at the ends of the earth as your possession. Pasuk test, Pasuk 9. To ro'em b'shevet barzel kechliyotzer t'natzem. You will break them with a rod of iron, you will dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Hashem will intervene to assure David's victory over his enemies. He will break them with a rod of iron, slay them with the sword, and he will dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Break them and smash them as one breaks and smashes an earthenware vessel. More, they will destroy one another just as clay vessel can be broken by striking it against another clay vessel, as it says, and I will spur Egypt against Egypt, and they will fight brother against brother, and everyone against his fellow, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom, until they perish. The verse says that David asked Hashem to smite his enemies in two ways, as one striking another with a mighty weapon of iron, and as one striking a clay vessel. Once the vessel is broken into pieces, there is no making it whole again. The nations are to be scattered, but the Jewish people will always be characterized by the opposite quality, that of unity and wholeness. As Dov HaMelech said, who is like your people, like Israel, a nation one in the earth? No weapon will ever be able to dash them to pieces. We will continue with Hashem in our next shir. We are learning Sefer Tehillim. This is shir number one. We are using the parish Ma'am Loes and by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. Again, we're holding in chapter 1, Pasuk 1. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim uvederech ha'toyim lo amod uva moshav leitzim lo yoshav. Happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. King David has opened the book of Psalms Tillim with a psalm that begins, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. This is a fitting introduction to the entire book, as it teaches that the man who departs from evil and does good is truly happy and firmly rooted. Although the righteous man be beset by affliction all his days, and the way of the wicked prosper, the wicked are like the chaff, and the end of their way is perdition. Happy and worthy of acclaim is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked are forever in pursuit of riches to satisfy their passion for the things of this world, and they do not distinguish between good and evil. For the sake of money, they rob and steal and murder because they are driven by despair.
as the scripture says in Job, Eve, when he gives quietness, who can do evil? Evil deeds are rooted in despair, for there is lack of serenity. Because the wicked are constantly in a state of dread about their future, they counsel everyone to live as they do, to amass riches and find pleasure in the present. However, men are for the most part mistaken when attracted to the good things in hand. They fail to look more deeply and to ponder the consequences. Happy is the man, a man in his prime, in full possession of his powers, who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. A related emphasis says, happy is the man whose happiness stems from the fact that he is a man, an ish, complete in the traits of excellence and qualities of the soul. For in physical prowess and body perfections alone, man is suppressed by the animals. Man is called here Ish, the highest form of the four names given by the Torah to characterize a human being. Ish, Adam, Enosh, and Gever. The name Ish corresponds to the quality of man whereby he transcends all physical aspects. It refers to the condition of man when his thought is totally involved in reaching for the sacred, and his soul is inflamed with cleaving to its divine source on high. Accordingly, he is happy. This man is beloved above and beloved below. Similarly, Moshe claimed the Jewish people by concluding his blessing with the words, happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Hashem. A pasuk that's found in the Chumash Devarim. Speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit, David opened his great book by declaring, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. He mentions three kinds of wicked assemblies, the wicked Rishoyim, the sinners Chatoyim, and the scornful Deleitzim. The Rishoyim are the worst, and one must keep away from them as far as possible. The singer speaks in the past tense. Who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful? That is to say, the principal happiness of the truly happy man is that he leaves this world without having been blemished. At the end of his days, he can look back and declare that he has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. He is then acclaimed on high by the tzaddikim of all generations who come forward to greet him. King David is also speaking to those who, like him, had endured harsh and bitter testing and remained righteous. Indeed, that is the reason he composed this psalm. Despite all his suffering and pain, happy is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the scornful. He did not follow in the footsteps of the wicked, nor did he ever consider their counsel to do so. He did not linger stand among them long enough to participate in the customs and affairs of sinners, to avoid emulating their deeds. For one who associates with evil men brings evil upon himself, even if he does not actually walk in their ways. As it says, when you saw a thief, and you were in company with him, and with adulterers was your portion, I will reprove you. Although he took no part in thievery and adultery, he committed the wrong. Accordingly, the scripture says here, happy is the man who has not walked. For as the Talmud says of the present verse, by not having walked, he did not stand, and by not having stood, he did not sit. Another insight says, even when a man commits a sin, he is praiseworthy if he has not stood in the sin. He did not persist in his transgression, but turned away. Our sages explain, nor stood in the way of sinners. These are the people of Sodom. The praiseworthy man does not emulate their behavior. They sinned by never using their wealth for doing good, only to satisfy their own lusts. But he who uses his money for noble ends, happy is his lot. Nor sat in the seat of the scornful. There are people who use their special cunning for spite, to boast and mock and slander. This is one meaning of Leitzim. Leitzim are also those frivolous people who congregate on street corners and contribute nothing worthwhile to society. They possess no wisdom or industry and can do nothing but talk. Such people are scornful of Torah study. Instead of the seat of learning, they occupy the seat of the scornful. When one is able to study Torah and fails to do so, clearly he is scornful of Torah study. To what can this be compared? A man was told to count gold coins and that everything he counted would become his own possession. If he fails to apply himself to the task, he shows his scorn for gold coins. The scripture mentions here three kinds of wrongdoing: in thought, through unintentional action, and in speech. Regarding the first, it says that the praiseworthy man has not walked in the counsel of the wicked. Or the second, it says, nor stood in the way of sinners. Even if he happened to come among sinners, he did not linger among them, but endeavored to flee. The end letters of the words Ashrei Ho'ish Asher Lo spells out the word Ashrei, to convey that the righteous man is happy in this world and in the world to come. Our sages teach that this world is called an upside-down world, and the world to come is the proper world. This is hinted to by the above word Ashrei, which is spelled both in the forward direction and in the end letters, upside down. King David began the book of Psalms with the word Ashrei, which is the continuation where Moshe left off. As Moshe said, "Happy are you, Ashrecho, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by Hashem." But while Moshe spoke of the happiness of the nation as a whole, David speaks of the happiness of each and every individual. Accordingly, he concludes the book with, "Let every soul praise Hashem. Kol Hanishama Tahalil Kol." The first letters of the words Kol Hanishama Tahalil has the same numerical value, 425, as Mashiach ben David, Mashiach the son of David. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Ki misoras Hashem chefzo saraso yege yomam b'loylo. But his desire is to strive in the teaching, the Torah of Hashem, and he meditates in his teaching day and night. The previous verse spoke of the evils which the righteous man avoids. But it is not enough for a man to keep away from evil. He must also do good. So the scripture continues. But his desire is to strive in the teaching of Hashem. His desire is to study as well as to do. For proper action is not possible unless there is necessary knowledge acquired through prior study. King David inspires the heart of men, urging that their desire for God's Torah be more deeply felt than any other desire. Compare it to a man with a pocket full of gems and pearls. All his thought and desire are focused on nothing else except this treasure. Similarly, King Solomon said, "All the things you can desire are not to be compared to her." A pasuk that's found in Mishlei. And for those that are interested, the complete Mishlei is available on 34 or tapes or CDs. The Torah is more precious than treasures of gems and pearls, as it says, "Better to me is the teaching of your mouth than thousands of gold and silver." Ownership of gold and silver eventually passes to another, but one's striving and achievement in Torah always remains one's very own possession. In another emphasis, that a desire for the Torah of Hashem means that one's own wishes and understanding are gladly set aside when they are in conflict with the divinely given laws of the Torah. He meditates in his Torah day and night. All day and all night his thought is taken up with Torah study and performance of the mitzvahs. This man is not involved with and has no desire for the empty pursuits of this world. His sole desire is for the teaching of Hashem in order to fulfill the mitzvahs. Apparently, the teaching of the Lord is called Torah, for it guides Mora, the person, along the path of upright living. He meditates, Yaga. His thought is so intensely concentrated in Torah study that the words leave his mouth as if on their own. Yaga literally means utterance. When passing his lips, they sound like the warbling or murmuring of doves.
This comparison is found in the words of the prophet, like those we murmur much, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. When is the Torah called his Torah? When one ponders it night and day without ulterior motives. It should not be an occasional pastime or pursuit for the sake of honor or material gain. Our sages teach that when a man is occupied with the Torah, Hashem takes care of his needs and fulfills his wishes. Thus the present verse says, his desire is to strive in the Torah of Hashem, followed by, and in all he does he will prosper. Even before he acts, Hashem acts to grant his wishes, saving him the effort. The Talmud also teaches, let a man keep studying even if he keeps forgetting and does not understand what he says. Even then, says the scripture, it will be said of him that my soul is consumed with the longing that it has for your ordinances at all times. This pertains to one who cannot understand. If, however, he can understand, he must endeavor to understand. Day and night, if one studies at night, Hashem extends to that man a thread of grace during the day. It's a Gemara in Talmud that brings this down. His desire, a man does not study except when what his heart desires. If that and that alone is his desire, it is a sign that he came into this world to complete his perfection in that part of the Torah. He meditates in his Torah. The Talmud says, if you have desired the Torah, in the end, it will be called in your name. That is to say, if at first one is occupied with the Torah solely as the fulfillment of a mitzvah, in time, there comes the realization that this leads to the attainment of personal perfection. However, this is true only as regards the Torah that one studies through exhaustive effort and intense application. As our sages have said concerning the verse, a pasuk found in Qehelet, Av Chochma Omdeh Li, King Solomon declares that only the wisdom that stayed with me, which he acquired with Av, through exhausting effort. Another insight says, although this man meditated in the Torah day and night, his desire for the Torah was not thereby weakened. As King David says later, oh, how I love your Torah, it is my talk all day long. This is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. We'll get to it, Mitzvah. Although it is my talk the entire day, my love for your Torah is undiminished. Our sages declare, a man is born to toil, as found in Eov and Job. But I do not know if it is to toil with one's mouth or to labor with one's hands. So the scripture says, for his mouth compels him, a pasuk found again in Mishlei. So therefore that it means toil of the mouth. I still do not know if it is to be toil that the Torah just taught. So the scripture says, this book of the Torah will not depart out of your mouth. A pasuk is found in the Sefer Yeshua. Say therefore that a man was created to toil at the Torah. According to Rava has declared, all matters are a bother. Fortunate is he who has merited that his brother is the Torah. Some emphasize the subtle implication of his Torah. If a man wants to merit possession of the Torah of Hashem, he must first meditate in his very own Torah. Let him first develop and refine his character traits. His very own personal Torah, whose development depends on him alone. Then again, meditate is interpreted in the specific sense of silent meditation. When the true Torah scholar is too weary to study audibly, he continues to reflect in the Torah. If you desire to learn good character traits, do not go to the wise men of the nations, who also at times teach ethics and morals. For the happiness of the Jew is not to be found anywhere except through the Torah of Hashem as the revealed teaching from Sinai. Just as the five books of the Torah begin by teaching about the Torah, thus it says, in the beginning in Bereishis, Hashem created the heaven and the earth, which alludes to the Torah that is called Reishis. So has David Melech, King David, begun his book of Psalms with praise of the Torah. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk 3. V'hoyo ke'etz shosul al palgei moyim asher piryo yitein bi'ito v'olehu lo yibol v'chol asher yase yatzliach.
and he will be like a tree planted by streams of water that brings forth its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither, and in all he does he will prosper. The man who departs from evil and does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, is called happy. If moreover he does good by being occupied with the Torah day and night, not only